Gemara on Samach Aleph on Beis says, "Elayim yeshach adam shegufo chabib alav mimamono." If there's a person whose guf is more dear to him than his money, therefore it says, "Bechol nafshecha."
All your soul.
Now, what does this mean? So the Groh here, if I remember correctly, the Groh says, "What are we talking about here? There really is a person whose money is more valuable than his soul, than his goof. Anyone, any normal human being, if you put a gun to him, right? Give your money or your life. Unless you're a complete idiot, you're going to give your money, right? So what does it mean that someone whose money is more dear to him than his soul? It doesn't mean in that way. It means that a person will, his desire for money, for the moment, right, for the moment, will be so great that he will lose his soul gradually. I.e., a person can give up his life, right, literally, for money. He could be working his whole life, collecting money, spending his whole life collecting more and more money. I mean, if you have a few, I don't know how much money a person needs, but if you have a few million, right, that's enough to spend and to have whatever you need in life. Once you have more than that, just like, stop. What are you getting to get more? What do you need more for?
So just the practical scenario, what you're saying is, if someone, you know, constantly works, makes a lot of money, the more time he puts in working, the more money he makes. If gradually they work, instead of 6 days a week, they work 7 days a week, like on Shabbos as well, gradually they make that trend, you're saying that they should give that up.
Yeah. A person has to realize, we our problem is, it's very easy to give our lives up for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very hard for us to give our lives up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you give your whole life for a moment, it's very easy. It's the spur of the moment. It's the spur of the moment. There's a clarity. At that moment, there's a clarity. Or God, or this world. God. There's a clarity. But you can get it, you know, when you have that moment of clarity, but when you have lots of moments, and when every person does an Avera, it's like his life's made of lots of moments. Every moment, does he ask this question, or God, or the Avera? No. He says, well, God likes me, I like God. Okay, once in a way I do an Avera. You know, I like doing these ones, right? Not the end of the world. That's what he thinks. That's exactly what the Baal HaTanya is saying. He says, I still love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I still have the love for Kadosh Baruch Hu hidden in my heart. It's still Hashem Echad. No, he says, no. It's mavdil you from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's separating you from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every time you say, oh, I can do that thing now, the Hashem Echad in you isn't so Echad. You're not so one with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he's trying to tell us a technique. And that's an important technique also. How to look at life. We look at life as, look, I'm from, I'm doing the right things, I'm behaving correctly, right? Every time an Avera comes to us, we say, well, I'm going to try and get over that. I didn't. Okay, fine. Or just this once, let me have X or do X or Y, right? We all do it. This is all. Another 5 minutes in bed, missing shacharis, doing, not coming for shir, having chilling out with the guys, whatever it is. We all have something that we do sometime that we shouldn't be doing. And what allows us to do that?
What allows us to?
What allows us to?
It depends on what you're doing. If you're doing it because you need to do it, as long as it's not a transgression.
No, I'm not talking about transgression. I'm talking about transgressions. Things which are avails.
Well,
yeah. So, but what allows us to do it? What makes it, we allow ourselves to do it. What makes us allow? What's the mechanism? How comes? We all know.
Because there's no immediate thing that's going to happen. It's, oh, whatever, so I'll do it and then I'll repent or this or that.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll make up with him. You know, I'll get up extra early for Shabbos.
I'm not working on this right now, though. This is too advanced for me.
Right, okay. Say you're right. Say it could be something that's too advanced, right? We're not all there for everything. But things that we know we shouldn't be doing. We also do, you know, things which aren't too advanced. We also do them. we're normal. Every human being, right? We're human.
Yitzhar Hara justifies it.
So what's a justification? What justification do we have?
It's in our self-interest, meaning like we're doing it for ourselves, and in that moment we're not thinking about necessarily Hashem.
Oh, we're saying, if someone were to tell you, at that moment, you're separating your connection with your Creator. Hashem Echad, it's not, your oneness with your Creator is not there. It's not going to be there. You're not going to be connected with Him like you were yesterday. It's going to sever your connection. If we tell you at the moment of or God or the Avera, you're going to take the Avera? Or Yaron Amaba or the Avera? You're going to do the Avera? No one's going to do the Avera. Are you crazy? We don't think in those terms. We think in the terms of, a tiny little thing, not a big deal. I'm in Yeshiva, I'm learning Gemara, I'm doing the right things. You know, the vast majority of the time, I'm doing everything correct. It's only a small thing, makes no difference.
The question is it in those terms?
No.
It's not in those terms.
Not in those terms.
So then how do you look at it? You can't look at it as if it is.
That's what the Yetzer Hara, that's what the Yetzer Hara does to you. He says, look at it in those terms. He doesn't, but those aren't the terms. The terms is, there's a mysterious nefesh here. Here, you have to be Moser Nefesh. Here, this is a Kiddush Hashem. Here, it's or God, or you, or the Avera. Pick.
You call it Mesiris Nefesh?
Yeah, it's a Mesiris Nefesh. That's what Rabbi Eliezer tells us. What's Bechol Moodecha? What's Bechol Nafshecha? That's what people in the world give up literally their lives because every moment they say, I give money to shul. Oh, but I do that. Oh, but I do. And the rest of the day is full of garnished, full of waste of time. And they waste their whole lives because they get so used to it, spending weeks and weeks and weeks doing absolutely nothing about their avodas Hashem. But they give money to tzedakah, and they do this, and they do that, and they learn once a week, and they have a daf yomishu, and they have a this, and it's good enough.
Is that worse if you justify it?
It's not because they don't even actively justify it. It's not even active justification.
It's a one-time justification.
Then. Yeah, it's a one. That's life. You know, that's life. You know, God knows I like him. He likes me. I like him. Everything's dandy. Finished. Now I can do whatever I want.
Is that where they get the saying in life? It's the little things that count.
Yep. It's the little things that make big people. Once we get into a different mode, that we realize when an Avera comes to us, it's all God or the Avera. It's all our connection with Him or the Avera. We're not going to do it. It's mafrid us. It's separating us from Hashem Echad. That's what he's saying here. Now that's a very strong outlook. That's a very powerful outlook, and that's how the Yetzer Hara comes to you. You're about to say something. Now sometimes, if you're in the middle of the Avera, forget it. I told you. Once you're in the middle of the Avera, it's going to be very hard to separate from it. Because that's like onus. If it's something you benefit from, that's what Gemara and Ksuva says. You don't have a choice anymore. Not that that can't be an excuse for continuing. You see, many people were very, right? The Midah of Yosef, Litgaber, in the middle of an Avera. That's very, very strong. To be able to be Purish in the middle of an Avera. And the schar that a person gets for that is unbelievable. Doesn't mean you do it to get the schar to be Purish, but it's a tremendous thing. That's very, very hard. But
what Avera? What
Avera? Yeah. In the middle, he was Purish. Right? We have to understand what it means, but simply speaking, right?
What does it mean he was in the middle?
It's according to Chazal. It's according to Chazal. Right. He had relations.
He did?
Yeah, according to Chazal, he had relations.
But he was Purish. And stopped in the middle.
Stopped in the middle.
So you're saying that that's better?
I did say it's better.
Chazal's saying that.
I did say that's
if
better.
If you're in the middle of an act like that, and then you stop and you remove yourself from the situation. Is that better or worse than being confronted with the opportunity to have that situation by a woman in the first place, and then you're saying no?
No, it's not better. I didn't say it's better. Obviously, it was better. It was a avera. Yosef did an avera. Because of that avera, there's things happened to Klal Yisrael. It was a terrible thing. It wasn't a good thing. But we still see that Yosef had the koch to be perish, to separate. That's an amazing koch. Right? Yehuda also had that koch of admitting to an avera. Right? That's a koch that Yehuda has. Then there's a certain koch that Yosef has. We have to learn from that strength. Since Yosef has that strength, it's innate to Klal Yisrael. We have that strength, that we can separate even in the midst of an avera. But of course it's better not to get there. Of course, you know, you don't want to be there. But how can you be in the position that you're not going to be there? Every moment is important. Every moment is, oh God, or the Avera, or my Aramaba, or the Avera, or my connection. Because if you look at it that way, and that's a very, very strong message you're giving yourself, you will do much less Averas.
Practically, how do we get to that point?
You have to, it's a way of thinking. I'm just telling you, it's a switch. Once you switch it, it changes you. Just a switch. I'm not doing it. It's not worth it. What, to ruin my connection? To ruin my relationship? It's worth it? And you will see, you will get used to doing it. You do it a few times. You do it like, what, another missing chakras is worth, like, you know, like, worth this little schluffing in bed for another 15, 20 minutes? We all do it. It all happens to us. Oh, Sunday's off. I can't remember who's off on Sundays, right? He doesn't come down to world on that day. He's off. Sunday's an off day. You can allow yourself, but you have to be clever. You shouldn't do things which are beyond you. That's also Yetzirah. So like I'm telling you something, but again, Yetzirah can get wherever you do, he's going to be there. He might do this to you as well and say, no, you're not going to do Averas. And then he'll bring you to, and you're like so frustrated, you like feel so strangled by yourself. He said, forget it, I'm not doing this anymore. And then you're like, no, I'm just being normal. And that's it. So you have to know who you are. And if, say, you do sleep in, you went to bed late, you're going to miss Shacharis the next day. You know, you went to bed late, you schmoozed with a guy, whatever the reason was, right? You need your 6 or 7 hours sleep. So you know what? Put your alarm clock for a later time. Go down with an Amshinov. You didn't hear an Amshinov in, what's it called? Imre Shefer. Yeah, it's the same thing. Right? Go down with Imre Shefer. No, really. You're going to get up on time. Tomorrow you don't think you'll get up on time. Decide beforehand. I need my 7 hours sleep. Go down with Imre Shefer. Finished. Now, that's not an official thing I'm telling you to do, right? Do you record it? Right. It's not an official thing I'm telling you to do, but it's an outlook. Be in control. Be in control of yourself. Don't allow him to enter. If you need a break, have it a control break. Go out. Go out to a kosher place, go buy a pizza, go schmoozy. Say, now you're not learning. I'm not going to learn tonight. I need a break. It's an allowed break. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever you need to do, have it within your control. Don't do it on the spur of the moment. Do it in a controlled way. You understand what I'm saying? You enjoy whatever, I don't know, you enjoy Ben and Jerry ice cream. You enjoy going to the ice cream park. No, now it's winter, right? Having a, I don't know what, a beer.
Ice cream's still good.
Okay, ice cream's still good, all right.
Especially Ben and Jerry's.
Okay, Ben and Jerry's, okay, so that's a good one. All right, so you're going to enjoy it. You want to go to the Yesh one day. Yeah, like shopping in Israel. Whatever thing. You want to go to Geula, right? Look at the Sfarim's, right? Where you can see not to buy, right? Whatever it is. You want to do it. Go do it. You're allowed to do it. Don't say, I'm such a, you know, I'm not going to do anything but learn. You might not be in that level. Be recognize who you are. Live on the level you are living. Right? And allow yourself allowances of off time. Allowed off time. You understand what I'm saying? At the same time, one second, this is not my allowance. I didn't allow today to do this. I'm not doing it. It makes such a difference, and you feel so much more in control of yourself. It's a completely different world. I want to tell you something. You know, you read a lot of books on self, what's it called? Self-confidence, self-concepts. The best way to build self-confidence is with self-control. When a person has that level of self-control, he will have self-confidence.
Can self-reward help you build self-control?
Self-reward? What do you mean by that?
Like, let's say shock rate, say you find it difficult to wake up in the morning shock rate. But let's say, you know what, I'm going to wake up every morning, you know, Sunday through Friday this week for shock rate. And if I get through the week, then I'm going to reward myself with whatever.
Yeah, Tyler, Ben and Jerry's. No, yeah, problem. Yeah, you can do that.
Sleeping
through showers. No, that you can't do. You can go to Lady Minion if you want on Shabbos. You're allowed. Make sure you let creation on time. You get up, you don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So say creation. A lot of people sleeping on Shabbos. You have a minion you go to Lady Minion, fine, you want to go, yeah, you can do that. You want to sleep in. You want your Ben and Jerry's or the crew of Ben and Jerry's, yeah, you reward yourself. You can reward yourself. It's a good way. You understand? Fine, no problem. Okay. Masha ein kein. However, b'dava masul alev, dahainu shehara ma'us mamash belev, when the ra is disgusting in a person's heart, v'sanui b'tachli sina, and he hates it with complete hatred, or afilu shelo b'tachli sina, hineze iev shashye be'emet lamito, elia de godel v'tokef ava ha'ava l'Hashem. That could only be someone who has a very strong ava to Hashem. V'chines ava satanugim litanega l'Hashem. Like the desire for physical desire, right? He has the same desire, klapi Hashem, me'en olam haba. Now, I don't know if I should say this, but... Probably in our generation, right, the biggest desire, physical desire, is probably for women. So, it's brought down that the Me'en Olam Haba, right, that the Av that a person will feel for Hashem, Me'en Olam Haba, is like that desire, like that feeling. And it's not stubborn. Whatever there is in the physical world in terms of pleasure that a person can get, there's a concept in the spiritual world of a pleasure that a person can get. That pleasure of Avas Hashem is Me'ain, is like, or the pleasure in the physical world is Me'ain, that pleasure, is like that pleasure in the spiritual sense. And it's not Stam, it's done that way. The same Dimyan, the same imagination that brings a person to desire things is the same imagination that brings a person to have a keshen with his creator. It's the same thing. We spoke about this in the last time. You understand? V'azeh amru razal, chazal, olamecha tir'e b'chayecha, v'ein kol adam zochel azeh. Your world you'll see in your life, and not every person is merits this, it's like receiving his reward in this world, collective. Avodat matana eten et kunatchem. Kemoshkada v'mokomache. Alright. V'lechem, Ama Iyov, barata tzadikim v'kedi'ita v'tikunem shiyesh b'nishmas Yisrael kama mini madregos b'chinos. Chasidim, Giborim, Amit Gabrim, Al Yitzram, Mari, Tera, Nevi'im, v'chule. He's saying there's lots and lots of different levels in this level of Avas Hashem at Ein Sof, which we know we can understand for ourselves, right? The Ma'os Bara is like, you know, like there's a certain rabbi I went up to, and I mentioned a pasuk, and I mentioned the pasuk to him. And it's about Yosef, and it was about the din, there's halacha Potiphar. I wanted to ask him, so I said the pasuk, and it was very interesting. As soon as I said the pasuk, he said, his head shook when I said, because I was speaking about this inyan of the chibur of Potiphar with Yosef. Like, it was like, you know, straight away it was like disgusted, than I expected, but Rashi says, Olam Haba, so he's like, he was listening, right? But his first, like, you know, automatic reaction, like someone, like you take, you know, if you ever saw someone, you take over some food that he doesn't like, and you put it in the front of his face.
Yes. Yes.
You could see there was an ichs about the whole concept of, you know, what people in the world think is something pleasurable. There's a mole for us. You understand? There's a certain, it's like a disgusting thing for you. It's like ichs.
So then, to somebody who thinks that, then it would seem like it would inhibit their ability to have that pleasure with their own wife.
No. 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 There's a very big difference. Very, very big difference. A relationship with a wife is not a physical act only. It's much, much more. I mean, I'm not going to go into this now, Bokhrim, but very simply, the laws of purity, which are separated from your wife, and then you connect, it's basically a building of an emotional relationship and then a physical. The more you're married, the more hopefully you build on that emotional relationship and the closer you are. And therefore, the physical relationship just becomes an expression of that deep emotional relationship.
So then it would seem that...
But if you see, for example, you see people are, like in the world, you know, wow, that's a nice looking whatever, right? They're not interested in, oh, that's a nice person. The person or the interest about the emotional relationship or the depth of emotional relationship they have for that person, you know, that's not what people are looking for. That's not even people find attractive, so to speak. That's a physical relationship. The desire for that is ichs. But the desire for someone, you know, your wife could be 40 years old, 50 years old, right? I mean, she doesn't look that nice, objectively, right? I mean, after the kids, you know, and the, you know, right? We all go grey, we all, right? So, you know, like, forget it, you know, in terms of physical beauty, and yet you can have a desire for her more than for something else, right? You understand what I'm saying? Because it's not only a physical thing. It's something which is a hashlama, which is a completion of an emotional desire. Now, that takes work and many, many years. It doesn't happen by itself. And halavai, that we get to such a thing. It's not something easy to get to, right? But halavai, a person gets to such a thing.
So then, young couples that are newly married, so then it seems that it wouldn't be then, okay, now you're married, go be, you know, go be physical, you can go whatever. It seems
it's not, yeah, it's still, look, the nature of Jewish purity laws is limits, and there's laws on what a person can do. You do things, you don't do things in a, you know, I don't know what, you know, exactly, but you don't do, not everything is permitted. And the mitzvah is, it should be pleasurable for your wife. You're doing something which is pleasurable for her. You understand what I'm saying? You're not doing it to have fun, right? It should be enjoyable for both of you, but it's a different outlook. You understand what I'm saying? It's a different outlook. Let us know this. A woman is the maram to the maram. A woman is chome, and a man is tsura. A woman is like physicality, and a man represents form. So the Maharal says, when a man and a woman connect, and you have a child, right? So the form gives, the chomer, the physicality, which represents it in the woman, is given form by the man. Physically, it's also like that. The woman has the egg, and the thing that comes from a man gives it its form. Understand what I'm saying? Spiritually, it's also like that. And the Maharal says a very interesting thing. The more the woman, like if you have, you know, if you have a press, if the stamp on the press is very connected to the thing, like goes into it completely, the full form of the press will be on that, that whatever you're pressing, that stuff that you're pressing on, the press, the coin, whatever it is. It says, what connects. What's that connecting ability? So he says, the ahava, the love of the husband to his wife and the wife to the husband. And he says more than that, he says, the greater the ahava, the greater the love, not desire, love. You with me? The greater the love, the more wise are the children, and the more beautiful are the children. That's what the Maharal says. So, but you understand there's a difference between love and desire? Okay. So that's, it's a very fine difference, but it makes a world of difference.
Desire comes back on yourself. When it's love, right? You say it's giving toward, yeah, giving of yourself for the purpose of someone else.
Right.
It's a small difference, but it's, yeah, also a big difference.
Of course you better choose the right wife. You don't choose the right wife, you know, like... look, I want to tell you something. Whether you choose the right wife or not, and there were many people in Jewish history who seemed to have very difficult wives and difficult marriages, right? Like, very strange, Rav Nachman. There's two people in Chazal, two Amoraim in Chazal. Rav Nachman, all of Dinim Omnis, we pass them like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was Chochem. He represented Chochma, right? He was very, very clever. Amoraim, this very special person. He had a wife called Lilia, right? The Gemara speaks about it. The Gemara Bracha speaks about it. He sent that Kosher Bracha, she threw it back at him. It doesn't sound like she was such a great, right? Right? And the Gemara speaks about Kosher Bracha, Kosher Puran. It's a deep Gemara. If we learn, maybe one day we'll learn that Gemara. We'll try and understand. Then the Rav, Rav, Tana Hubapali, he was a Talmud of Rebbe. He was just the end of the Tanaim. So you can imagine, he was like the spitz of the Amoraim, right? You know the story of the Gemara. Whatever he asked his wife to do, she did the opposite.
Kind of like Seinfeld.
She did the opposite. So the son, he had a clever son. So whatever Rav would tell him, he would tell the opposite to his mother, and all of a sudden, she did everything. So what happened to your mum? So he got it out from the son that he was changing. So he didn't want his son to learn to lie. So he said, don't do that. So now, we have to understand, now, you know, there's, Gemara speaks about everything. So Gemara also talks about how you have relations, right? So there's one Gemara that speaks about one of the Talmidim of Rav went under Rav's bed when he was with his wife. This is a Gemara. That means what happened in Rav's bedroom we have in a Gemara, right? You have to imagine what we're talking about, right? You would like the most popular book to be talking about what happened for generations afterwards, right? And like Rav found the Talmud, like chutzpah, right? He says, Torah hi, v'lilmod ani tzarich, I want to learn Torah. And the Gemara there speaks about what Rav did with his wife. How gentle he was, how he spoke to her before, how he talked to her. This is the same woman who every... think the rough dolphin, right? So you have to understand, there was a tremendous avoda. We don't understand, there was a tremendous avoda here. There was a tremendous ava. We can't understand these things. Like, you know, like give her a divorce. Like, get rid of her. You know, get another one. I mean, Rav's going to have a problem getting married, right? Not going to have a problem. Right? Just, you know, forget it. We don't understand these things. And there were rabbis, even in our generations, who had very hard lives with their wives. It can happen. You can marry the wrong woman. It can happen. Why? How? Why Kodesh Baruch Hu does it? We don't know. That, we wait to 120. But whatever it is, that's the wife. You have to make it work. You have to somehow make it work with her. That's your avoda. Unless, you know, whatever, someone tells you, no, don't make it work. You ask around. I'm not telling you, like, whatever happens, just... Obviously, we don't want that sort of marriage, right? But it can happen. Now,
so
I'll tell you a story.
Now,
that's a separate thing. Well, when you're in the second year, you know, Bezrat Hashem, you'll get there, we'll have a long chat, we'll send you to all the rabbis, we'll know exactly what this type of girl you're going to go out with and find. Bezrat Hashem. But I'll tell you a very, you know, on the Sfat trip many years ago, there was one boy, and will, I think it's a very important message. And I tell people this the whole time, because I think, even though, like, I wouldn't normally go and ask a certain rabbi this questions about these things. Not for him, you know, this is Rabbi Gershenfeld, all of it, this, that's their department, right? But he said a very important thing. He asked him, what advice, Rabbi, can you give for marriage? So he said, I think it was brilliant. Mamish brilliant. Because it's so true about marriage. So he said, when Yaakov Avinu got married, he thought he was marrying a Rachel. Vehine, he Leah. She's a Leah. If you get married, you think you're marrying a Rachel. You have to be prepared to live with a Leah as well. And that's very true. When you go into marriage, do not think you're going to have the Rachel that you dreamt about, or even that you think you have in front of you. She can also be a Leah. And Leah was snua. Leah was hated. You have to understand what Yaakov, right, hated his wife, right? You have to understand that. That makes sense, right? I mean, there's a deep concept there that's brought down as far as why. But we're not going to talk about that. So there's part of your wife that you're going to hate. So you have to live with it. You have to be able to live with it. That's where you work. And sometimes there's no Rocha around. There's only a Leah. That's all you see. Can you live with that?
It's not a drasha, it's just a concept conceptually.
And it's not only true about your marriage, because we've said before, it's true about life. In your life, there's also many layers. In your life, there's many aspects that I wish it was otherwise. And of course, well, who throws you those things that you want to get rid of? How do you behave towards them? How do you react towards them? Accepting them and dealing with them. You can't always change things. And generally speaking, you can't. Deal with them. Work with them. That's what you were created for. And that's what life's about. And it's a very simple message. But that's it. Okay, let's finish off here. Ubezeh, quickly. Yuvan, careful loshen hashvuah. There's a double loshen in the shvuah that Kodesh Baruch Hu makes the person when he's first born. Tehi tzadik, be a tzadik, v'al tihi rasha, and don't be a rasha. L'chora, tamuot, it doesn't make sense. Ki macha shemashbim oto tihi tzadik. If I tell you you're going to be a tzadik, obviously you're not going to be a rasha. Why are you making another shvuah? Don't be a rasha. Right? Ela mishum she'en kol adam zoche liot tzadik, v'en la'adam mishpat ha'bechira b'zeh. A person isn't zoche necessarily become a tzadik, and he might not even have, now listen to this, he might not even have the choice with regards to being a tzaddik. That might not be his bechira. Kol kach litaneg al Hashem be'emet, to be that dovuk, that clear, to be that, have that desire and onig. How do you say onig? Like onig Shabbos, joy on Hashem. V'shiyeh ra ma'us mamish be'emet, that the ra will be so disgusting in his eyes in truth. V'lechein mashibim sheinit al tiyeh rasha, that we do have bechira on. Al konik v'zeh mishpat ha-bechira v'arshus netuna. That's we have bechira. L'chol adam, to each person. Limshol baruch tavato, to have dominion on his desires, shebeliba v'likvosh yitro, to have dominion on his yitro, shelo yeh rosha. He won't be yeh rosha afilu shah achad kol yamav. Bein b'bechinat sumira, whether it's going away from ra, bein b'bechinat asetov, whether it's doing good. V'ein tov el ha-terror, that's terror instead of dahainu talmud terror k'neged kulam. Right? Okay, we'll go into this some other time, why Torah is connected to Tov. Right? Ach, afa pichen, sarich likvo lo itim gamken, lesit at eitzot benafsho liyot moes bara, kagon, beitzot chachameinu, like the eitzot of our rabbis, isha, okay, v'kahai gavna, v'ken, ko, right, I mean, it's the way how you look at, how you think, you, okay, v'ken, ko mini matamim madanim nasim, he's saying basically, if you think about the desires, like desire for woman, desire for food. Basically, all the schnitzels in the world, you know, become solid, become something disgusting in the end, right? Like, you know, even the most beautiful whatever, how you say it, disintegrates? Someone, I met a friend once.
Decomposes.
I met a friend once, and he says, like, showing like, saying, like, he was in the summer, so he's telling me, and he had to go on a certain bus or whatever. He says, like, he doesn't have a problem. He says, I don't have a problem when I see a woman. I just think, what's going to happen to that person when, at 120, they're in the grave, and all the maggots are going to be eating into them and, like, decomposing them? Like, you know? That's what I'm interested in, a piece of flesh that's going to be decomposed. I mean, everything's going to decompose. All these, anything which is physical is just like, and it, on a deeper level, it's very deep because it's transient. Anything that I benefit now, it's momentary. It's really worth it. Even the best Ben and Jerry's, right? Say nothing, you know, say, you know, it doesn't do anything bad to your stomach or anything. You know, it's just good for you and you can eat as much as you want, right? You get fed up with it. You get fed up with it. Well, it's so great anyway. You know, the people who have it really hard, the people who can buy whatever they want with their money, they don't have any desire for anything. You know, if you, just can you imagine? If you have, you know, like people who, you know, for us it's very simple. You know, kids whose father owns a sweet shop. You know, every kid, you know, like, I wish my dad would, like, had a big sweet shop, right? Has a big sweet shop. And his dad, the dad allows you to take whatever you want from the sweet shop. Guarantee you, after a week, you'll be fed up of sweets. Just want, all you want is just, like, mum's cooking.
I don't know.
You don't know? I can't believe, I mean, I could imagine, look, you're right, my wife actually tried it out with the kids. She said, you know what, I want to get this, my daughter, she loves sweets, just give her a sweet, right? I think it's to do with sugar, she's very active, so she needs the sugar, it's a need. Okay, so I said, you know what, we're going to just pound her with sweets. Whatever sweet she wants, just buy it, just give it. Whatever she wants to get, we just get her off it, just give it to her, right? It worked. It worked. She got, like, fed up a little bit. A little bit fed up. I mean, obviously, you can't do the whole...
Great way to handle it.
I don't know. Look, I'm not saying that's the way to handle it. Each child, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not a mechanech, but we get fed up of things. Things that you have, you're fed up of them. V'ken, kol tanu ge'olam hazeh, ha'chacham ro'a eno, to see what's in the future, mehen, she'sofan lirkov, to disintegrate, liyot rima v'ashba, v'hefach litaneg v'smoch ba'ashem. The simcha the person has Hashem al yedei hitbonenut, thinking begadol ein sof baruch hu kfi yecholto, according to what he can think. Af sheyodesh b'nafsho shelo yagiya lemadregazu, he won't get this daga be'emet, but he tries in the time of tefillah, any time he's davening or learning. Lamito ki im bim dimyonot, it's a dimyon, even though it's not really true avoda, it's his imagination. Even still, af apichen hu yaaseh. He'll do what he can do to be kind of shvua, shmashbim tiyei tzadik, even though it's a dimyon, even though it's not a real madrega, he's not really there, it doesn't matter. Hashem yaseh hatov be'enav, you do your bit, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what's good in his eyes. You'll get more than where you really are. You're trying, you're imagining an avoda, a kirva, a closeness. And it might be really not a real dalga, but you're trying. The Kodesh will give it to you in a true way. What he sees fitting for you to be in his eyes. V'od, shahergel al davar shilton na'ase teva sheni. This is very important. When a person repeats an action often, it becomes his second nature. He habituates in a good action, it becomes him. He makes a kinyan. This the Rambam also goes through. This is also the derech of the Rambam. It's also the derech of cognitive psychology. Right? But that's the derech. It has to be. You margul yourself. You regulate yourself in a certain way of behavior or a certain way of thinking. In the beginning it will be hard, but when you get to, you do it again and again and again, it'll become second nature.
Habits are acquired character traits.
Yes, that's it. Happens, yeah. V'kishiyagi lim'as et hara, ye nim'as ksa be'emet. And if you mouth yourself to be disgusted from that which is bad, in the beginning it'll be disgusting a little bit. Right? And when you ragil lismoach nafsho ba'Hashem, to have desire for Kriish Baruch Hu and be happy in his avoda, I did bonud with God Lut Hashem. When you think deeply about Kriish Baruch Hu, now thinking deeply about Kriish Baruch Hu doesn't mean it can be going to the woods and having a conversation with him, or thinking, looking outside and seeing the beauty of the, look at this, it's unbelievable, the sky outside, unbelievable. I mean, you could literally just sit here for 5-10 minutes and look at those clouds and the beauty and the... I mean, it's it's a picture. I mean, people go to the Tate Gallery, right? I went with my wife when we were in England. I'll be honest with you, I'm not much of an artist. But, I couldn't wait till we left there. And my wife, she likes to... So she had something to see there. But, I didn't understand what was so good about it. It didn't make sense to me. Let's go back to learning Gemara. Okay, my wife liked it. Okay, but here... No one has to teach me art to appreciate that.
You can just stand outside.
Yeah, you can just see. It's the beauty in the world. There's so much beauty. Just to think about it. And the Kriish Baruch Hu created this all for us. All for us. You know how big the galaxy is?
There's no way that could just be some scientific coincidence.
I don't care. Let it be. It's beautiful. I think it's beautiful. Well, okay, so now I'm pre-programmed to realize and think that things like that is beautiful. I don't know why, right? But why? Something makes sense here. The world is so complex and so everything fits together that I think you have to be a real idiot not to believe there's some sort of direction to it. I can't believe it. Anyway. Shiragli smoch nafsho ba'Hashem ayadei bonanut begadlut Hashem hare bit oruta de latata, right, with a little bit of orut from below, it aruta del erado be it orut from above from Kriish Baruch Hu v'kule harav ulai and bizar Hashem perhaps yare alav ruach mimarom, if he has a little bit of it orut klapi Hashem there'll be a little bit of ruach spirit from above. Ruach mishorosh ezet tzadik. Now, this is a big thing. He'll get the spirit of ezet tzadik, shit titaber bo lavodat Hashem, that will impregnate him to be an oved Hashem. Besimcha amitit, with true joy, k'dichtiv, samchu tzadikim ba'Hashem, tzadikim will be joyful with Hashem, v'titkayem bo be'emet hashvua, and will be mitkayim in him in truth the shvua shemashbim tiei tzadik. So it's a very important thing. We sit in shir and we hear these things, and when we hear them, we all have a desire. We want to be a tzadik. We want to be a thing. Do it. Do it. Pick out moments in your day. I'm busy the whole time. Yeah, you come home, kids, wife. Go learn, come home. Hopefully by the time you come home, it's only wife. Sometimes it's also kids, right? Yeah. And you don't have a moment by yourself. When you go to bed, right? And I tell you, I find it's the best time. You're alone. Right? Or your wife's sleeping, or she's awake, usually, right? So you're alone. You have those 5 minutes before, flog into your thing, right? 5 minutes, give yourself. Have a conversation with your Creator. Thank you for your day. Think a little bit about your life. Bimit bonen. Build in your Ahavas Hashem. Look, you have so much. And Baruch Hashem, we have so much. Everyone has troubles, trials and tribulations and all sorts of things that, we want to get rid of. But when we think really truthfully, we have so much.
I'm going to try that. We see how that works.
It works. I'm telling you, it works. And you go to bed with a joy and a peacefulness and a pleasure that you love your Creator and he loves you. And it's a reciprocal relationship. The more you love Him, the more you feel His love that He loves you. Him loving you, we can't We can't fathom how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. We can't fathom it. We can feel it a little bit. And it's a good time. You know, just... And we all want to be tzaddikim. We all want to be good people. The Gemara says, So Shema Issa, Hu Shema Akev. The Yetzirah is Ma'akev. So we get out of the morning. We know tomorrow morning, the alarm's going to go off again, right? Like, that's how we start our day. And before we even open our eyes, he's starting on us. Before we even open our eyes, right? We haven't even yet, you know, like just put the flag on the floor and he's starting on us. He's there. Okay, we know we're going to get up and we have another fight in the morning. Getting out of bed. Okay, we know you're tired. Yeah, we were there yesterday as well. Yeah. And that's how we start. And every day starts with that. And like, you know, even the goyim have an off day. Can't we have an off day? Can't we have an off day? We actually do. We have a little bit of an off day on Shabbos. It's very interesting. It says that normally in Am HaAretz you can't believe in by certain things, by tithing. It says on Shabbos, Amos Shabbos alav. The fear of the Sabbath days are on him. To a certain extent, the level of our fighting with the Yetzirah on Shabbos is thinned. There's a thinning down of him. And that's why on Shabbos we can reach much higher levels in terms of our avodah. Shabbos is a very special day. Not only in special in terms of good food on Shabbos, right? But it's also a very ruchani day, very, very special day in ruchnius. Use it for a davening, use it for a little bit of learning. Okay, you need to relax, you relax also. But, you know, what a person can do on a Shabbos day is much, much more than you can do on a weekday. So, you know, when you're a bocha, you have the ability that you can learn, you have time. You know, Shabbos is long. The night is very long, right? Learn a bit of chumash, do those books, or read those books so you don't have the time to read during the week that interest you, or that, you know, you feel a kesher to them, you feel a connection to them. You just didn't have the time, so much learning Gemara. Maybe it's Gemara. So do Gemara on Shabbos. Whatever, whoever you are, pick those things you want to do. And try and build on that kesher, your own individual kesher with your Creator. No one has to know about it. No one has to know about it. Only him and you. This is your cheder yichud. This is your private relationship. You don't put anyone else there. This is you and him. Have one. That's what it's all about. And the more you have one, the more you desire to have one. And the more you desire, the bigger will be that connection. And that doesn't mean now that you have that relationship, you will now be easier getting up in the morning. It doesn't go necessarily together, but it helps. And it helps a lot. It helps when you're down that you know someone cares. You know someone's there, and you feel him there with you. You understand? Okay, we'll stop here.